This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة تركهم على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك صلاة ربي وسلامه عليه عباد الله يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد All praise is due to Allah. We seek His guidance and His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the whispering of our desires. Whom Allah guides, no one can misguide and whom He allows to be misled, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone having no partners and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger and his perfect worshipper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, O you who believe, fear Allah as he deserves to be feared and do not die except in a state of Islam. And Allah says, O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul and produced from that soul its mate and made from their combination many men and women. So fear your Lord, whom you ask each other by, and by the ties of kinship. Verily, Allah is ever watchful over you. And Allah says, O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct. He will correct for you your deeds and forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then they are indeed victorious. To proceed, Imam Ahmad reports that the Prophet ﷺ was sitting, as Anas narrates, and he told the companions, a man from the people of paradise is about to enter upon you. And so he said, a young man walked in, his hair was wet from the wudu, and he was carrying his sandals in his left hand. The next day, the Prophet ﷺ said the same thing, a man from the people of paradise is about to enter upon you. And the same man appeared. A third day, the Prophet ﷺ said, a man from the people of paradise is about to enter upon you. And the third time, the same man appeared again. And so Abdullah, the son of Amr ibn al-As, he then went and approached the man. He wanted to know what his secret is. And he simply told him, he said, I had a quarrel with my father, and I made an oath that I wasn't going to stay with him for 3 days. Do you mind hosting me? And the man said, sure, no problem. So then he went and he stayed over so that he could see his private worship. There must be a lot of qiyamul layl. There must be some secret sadaqah. There must be something. And yet, he says, as he was monitoring this man, said he didn't see anything. Didn't see qiyam, except that the man, when he would rotate going to sleep, or when he would turn to his side when sleeping, he would mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was pretty much it. Okay, maybe it was an off night. Next night, let's see what he does. Same thing. Okay, maybe that was an off night. Third night, what does he do? He's watching him as he's sleeping. Nothing. So then, after his 3 days of being hosted, of being a guest, are over, he tells the man, he says, to be honest, I didn't really have an issue, but I heard the Prophet ﷺ say this about you 3 times, and I wanted to see what it is that you do that made you described by the Prophet ﷺ as a person of paradise. And so the man said to him, he said, what you saw is what I have. That's all I got. And so he left. But then he called him back, and he said, hold on, there is one thing. He said, I never go to sleep with an ounce. I don't go to sleep with any hatred or envy of my Muslim brothers. I go to sleep every night with a clean heart. And Abdullah said to him, he said, that's what we're not able to do. That is what we're not able to do. I wanted to speak briefly today about the idea of a heart that is clean of rancor and hatred for the believers, and how great of an act of worship this is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers saying, those who says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who say, our Lord, have mercy on us, forgive us, and those who have preceded us in faith. And do not make in our hearts any hatred, any anger for those who believe. It is something that's very accessible. It's an act that everybody can do. You don't have to be of a particular financial status. You don't have to be of a particular social status. Nothing. It is something that every single one of us can do as an act of worship. But yet, it is very challenging. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather even before that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. The hadith reported in Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you will not enter Jannah until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. I want you to think about this. How many Jum'ahs have we attended for Jannah? How many salahs have we prayed for Jannah? How many dollars have we spent for Jannah? How much of our desires have we restrained and restricted ourselves for Jannah? And yet the Prophet ﷺ says, this Jannah that you've been seeking your entire life, you will not enter it until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. The idea of removing any rancor from your heart. And I want to share with you a couple of examples from the Salaf, and they are great. Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was dying, the people who came upon him, Zayd ibn Aslam, he says that they entered upon him and they found his face was jubilant, his face was luminous. And they said to him, why is your face so joyful? Why is your face so illuminated in this moment of death? And he said, the thing that I have the most hope in, and who's Abu Dujana? I want you to understand Abu Dujana. Of course, we study him in Seerah, the Battle of Badr. The Prophet said, who's going to take this sword with its right? Abu Dujana says, what's its right, Ya Rasulullah? He said, it's that you strike the enemy with it until it's bent. Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, if he's playing back his life, there are incredible moments that a person would hope, that they would hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. Incredible heroism. But what did he say? He said, the thing that I have the most hope in is not that battle. The thing that I have the most hope in is that I never used to speak about that which didn't concern me. And my heart was free of any sort of ill will towards any Muslim. The purity of a person's heart. And so, what do we do? And what are some of the things that we can do to try to secure and purify that type of ill will that becomes so easy, especially in a time when communication has become so difficult? Communication has become very easy, or at least communicating, but conversing has become very difficult. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that those who live in the desert, they've become hard. Whoever lives in the desert, Bedouins, they become hard. The idea of isolation, you lose the ability to be civilized. You lose the ability to have civil discourse. And we live in a time where we've all become these Bedouins by technology. You don't have, or we lose continuously the ability to talk to one another. We lose the ability to converse with one another. We lose the ability to connect with one another. And so in any case, what are some of the things that we can do? What are some of the steps that we can take, that the Sharia takes? I'll mention a few of them, inshallah ta'ala, in this khutbah. Number one is to respect the prohibition of backbiting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. This objective of being the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as brothers. But the prohibition of backbiting, I was asked one time by a sister, she said, is it okay if I simply vent to my family about my coworkers? Something that's very common, right? The idea of sharing the tea. And I'm talking about this coworker and that coworker and sharing this and sharing that. And I said to her, I just want you to pay attention to this. Something that people may not be aware of is that when I interact with someone, I have a complete picture as to who this person is. Because I don't only see the bad, but I also experience the good from them. I don't just experience them being annoying, but I also experience them being profound and being generous and being kind and being intelligent. But if I go home and I'm only sharing what's annoying about this person, because I'm venting, what is the picture that this other person is getting about this individual? And what is the advice back that they're going to be giving me? Especially if it's a person that they even know amongst the community. And how many times do you see this in marital spaces where a husband and wife are going back to their own family members and they're only sharing the negative, and so they're giving advice based on the negative, not realizing that this person, however, is also experiencing incredible goodness from this individual. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, لَا يُبَلِّغُنِي أَحَدٌ مِنْ عَنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ شَيْئًا فَإِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَخْرُجَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا سَلِيمُ الصَّدْرِ. The hadith that's reported by Abu Dawud and al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, don't come to me carrying information about my companions. Don't come to me with this and that, because I like to be able to go out to you while my heart is free of any feelings towards my companions. I want to come to you with my heart being completely a free space, empty of any sort of animosity or news that is coming. So not being a carrier of that type of news, not being a carrier of backbiting. Number two is saying that which is best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِ يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah says, tell my servants to say that which is best. Why? Because shaitan inspires, continues to instigate amongst the believers. Shaitan loves to instigate between the believers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, shaitan has given up hope to be worshipped by the musallin. The people who come to the salah, shaitan has given up hope to be worshipped to him. ولكن في التحريش بينهم. But what he does is he continues to instigate between the people of salah. And so a person might come and say, I don't know, man, I go to the masjid all the time and there's so much drama in the masjid. Why do you think there's drama in the masjid? Because shaitan waits outside the masjid here. He's not waiting outside of places where people are already on autopilot. No, he understands that this is a sirat al-mustaqim. He understands that the people who are coming to the masjid, these are the people who he's trying to get. And so one of the beautiful things that you reflect on is when you enter into the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you to make this incredibly powerful dua. أعوذ بالله العظيم وبوجهه الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم. Like these great attributes of Allah, you are asking Allah to be protected from shaitan when you're entering. Where? Not when you're entering the marketplace, the most hated place to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when you're entering the masjid, you're asking Allah to be protected from shaitan. Because shaitan waits for us here. And he tries to instigate between. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say that which is best. Don't take license with regards to the way that you talk to people. If they have a title, call them by their best title. If they have a name, call them by their best name. If you have something to say, say it in the best way that you can. Don't put the burden of understanding on the person. You take on the burden of communicating well. You take on the burden of speaking in the best way. And then they're responsible for trying to understand in the best way. But you do your part. Don't worry about their part. You do your part communicating to people always in the best way. Number three is when a person makes a mistake, and every one of us is going to make a mistake, to not be shy to apologize. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a hadith that's reported by Muslim, there was a conversation that happened between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Ahlul Suffa, Suhaib al-Rumi and Salman. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Abu Bakr, he says, لَعَلَّكَ غَضَبْتُهُمْ. Perhaps you made them upset. And if you made them upset, and this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, if you made them upset, then you've upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then goes to these companions. And he says, did I make you upset? And they said, no. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not above coming back to his brothers and making sure that they're okay, making sure that the air is clean between them. So having the ability to come back as well and to apologize if that is needed. Also, number four is to seek to reconcile between people. To reconcile. That when people have an issue, that we don't instigate it, that we don't fan the flames, but we try as best as we can to reconcile. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, shall I not tell you about what is better in status than fasting and prayer and sadaqah? They said, yes, ya Rasulullah. He said, islahu dhatil bayn, that a person reconciles between two people. As for instigating between two people, he said, وَإِنَّ فَسَادَ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ هِيَ الْحَالِقَةِ لَا أَقُولُ تَحْلِقُ الشَّعْرِ وَلَكِنْ تَحْلِقُ الدِّينِ. He says, and corrupting what is between people, being that person who fans flames and causes problems between people, he says, it is the shaver. And I don't say that it shaves a person's hair, but it shaves a person's religion. And so the idea of reconciling between people and it being a status above voluntary prayers and voluntary charity and voluntary sadaqah, it is a great act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And finally, to seek healing. To seek healing. How does a person seek healing? In a number of ways. Number one is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him to heal your heart. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, as we heard in the Qur'an earlier. Also is to think well, to practice thinking well of people. Imam al-Shafi'i, a man came to him and he was sick. And so the man said to Imam al-Shafi'i, he said, قَوَّلَّهُ ضَعْفَكَ يَا إِمَامٍ. He said, may Allah strengthen your weakness, O Imam. And so Imam al-Shafi'i said to him, if Allah strengthens my weakness, I'm going to die. If my weakness becomes stronger, then I'm going to die. So the man got shook and he said, that's not what I meant. Of course. And Imam al-Shafi'i said to him, if you cursed me, I would not think except good for you or good of you. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says, never think badly of a word that comes out of a Muslim if you're able to have a good construction for it. قُولُ مَا سِمِعْتُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to allow us to hear the speech and follow the best of it. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal, wa na'udhu bika min an-nar wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, zakkaha anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'siyatik, wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna bihi jannatak, wa min al-yaqin ma tuhawwinu bihi alayna masa'ib ad-dunya. Wa matti'na Allahumma bi asma'ina wa absarina wa quwwatina abadan ma abqaytana, waj'alhu al-waritha minna, waj'al ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا اللهم على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا برحمتك أرحم الراحمين رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد.